T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time for the Rami and Tim Show with your hosts, Rami Makhlouf and the franchise, Tim Allen.
Hour 2 of Rami and Tim, 12:50 a.m. The Fan. It's going to be a good hour. We got juicy quarterback drama a little later in the hour. And then Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, he joins us at 3:45. This portion of Rami and Tim is brought to you by Robert's Specialty Meats. We've survived the extreme cold and snow these past few weeks, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to thaw out, so let's reward ourselves with great food at the end of the workday from Robert's Specialty Meats. Paul Roberts has lots of options to make dinner time the best time of day, starting with one of his stuffed pork roasts like the legendary Al Capone roast, combining several meats, cheeses, and seasonings, all wrapped up into one awesome meal, which can be trimmed to suit your needs. Got one of those in my freezer right now. You'll also find original stuffed chicken breast. I got one of those in my freezer right now, like their Door County Cherry, just oozing with that real cherry flavor, plus over 30 varieties of original sausages and brats from mild to hot. I think I have 6 of those varieties in my freezer right now. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT for the best selection and to reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked beef sticks, like their new honey bourbon flavor. Got some of those last week. They're in my fridge right now. The ideal snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertsspecialtymeatswaukesha.com. for money-saving coupons for the best in meats. Shop Roberts Specialty Meats. Tim, yesterday we were going over the Packers cap situation. Who is our cap expert? Evan, I'm sorry. I'm remiss in not remembering.
Ken Ingles.
Ken Ingles. You can go and listen to that on the radio.com app. And the more that we dive into that cap situation and educate ourselves on it, it appears that neither Aaron Jones or Corey Linsley are going to be back in a Packers uniform next year. And Corey Linsley essentially said as much on SiriusXM NFL Radio earlier today.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit different. We're not closing the door for anything. Obviously, we'd never do that for any team, especially the Packers. But, yeah, it definitely feels weird. Looks like all signs are pointing towards having, you know, snapping the ball somewhere else next year. But, it really doesn't change. I mean, I'm putting in the work right now, lifting and training and from that standpoint, but a little more anxiety, a little more uncertainty, I guess, you know, just wanting to get this all over and finding a new home.
So he says it looks like he's going to be snapping for somebody else next year, Tim. And Ken Ingles told us yesterday in Pete Doherty's article, all but said, where he dives into the salary cap situation, that Aaron Jones appears as good as gone as well. So the question is, what's the bigger loss? What's going to hurt more, Linsley or Jones? If we're assuming both are gone, 414-799-1250, or tweet us at 1250am The Fan.
Yeah, to me it's easy. You need playmakers. I mean, think about this. Think today's NFL. Now we have to keep that in mind. This isn't back in the day where you can get away with a lot of things offensively. This is today's NFL. As much as we just experienced a really good defense taking care of business in two consecutive NFC title games, Tampa Bay Buccaneers a month ago, as well as the San Francisco 49ers a year ago. Even despite that, guys, you still cannot discount the offense in the NFL. You can't do it because it is, as they say, an offensive game. Now, will things adjust a little bit? Of course they will. They always do. The NFL finds a way to catch up with itself at times. However, imagine, if you will, the playmakers on the offense for the Green Bay Packers. Let's check them out without Jones. We have Aaron Rodgers and we have Davante Adams.
Those are your proven playmakers.
Those are all the playmakers.
Those are your proven playmakers.
you might as well, at that point, and I'm not comparing the two, but just in essence, this is all they had too. Who was throwing the football to Calvin Johnson?
Matthew Stafford.
Okay, that's all they had.
And Dan Orlovsky. I forgot about that until he mentioned it this morning. Okay.
But that's all they had, guys. That's all they had. That was the only two playmakers they had. You have to have a minimum of three, if not more, in today's NFL. I'm not saying to discount the defense. I'm not saying that. But, okay, if you want to throw out the unproven playmakers, Rami, I get it if you're talking about the running back position, because it is sort of unproven. We don't look at Jamal Williams as, by definition, a playmaker, do we?
No.
It depends by definition, but just the common definition.
To me, when you say playmaker, you're talking about a guy who can basically score from anywhere on the field.
Anywhere.
And Aaron Jones definitely has that ability.
He has that ability. Adams has the ability. Rodgers has the ability. And then there's nobody else. There isn't a one on that offense. And I'm not saying that they can't win. I'm not saying they can't go 13-3 without it. I'm just saying, again, asking for trouble. And what is it going to take to get Aaron Jones here? You know, I'm not the guy that's got to sit down with him and his agent. But I would stress the point internally. In the front office at Lambeau, I would stress the importance of playmakers in today's NFL.
Can you make plays, though, if your quarterback is on his back or running for his life? Because for me, that's where it all starts, Tim. I know it's sexy, but Aaron Jones was not... Nobody expected Aaron Jones to be this when he was drafted. Nobody expected Davante Adams to be this when he was drafted. You know who did know, though? You know who did see it coming? While y'all were questioning what they were doing and how they were putting together a football team, the Packers front office, they have had this idea, this plan in place, all these plans in place. When we talk about letting skill position guys go, they do it over and over and over again and have another guy ready to step up behind them. Mm. We see it all the time. Tim, how many number one wide receivers has Aaron Rodgers had in his career? He started with Greg Jennings, then he had Donald Driver, and then Jordy Nelson, and then James Jones filled the gap for a minute, and then it was Davante Adams. There's a reason for that. Not to say that all those guys aren't good wide receivers, but Aaron Rodgers brought out the best in them. Aaron Rodgers opens things up for Aaron Jones and the running game and makes him, I can't say makes him, but largely makes him as dangerous as he is. He'll go somewhere else and be very good. But I can tell you right now, you can expect if he doesn't go somewhere with at least comparable quarterback play, or a comparably as high-powered offense as what the Green Bay Packers have, and well-rounded offense as what the Green Bay Packers have, Aaron Jones' production will drop off in 2021. I'll guarantee that. I'll promise that. Fantasy players, take heed. I'm telling you right now, Aaron Jones' production will drop off some in 2021. That's happening. Unless he ends...
If are you saying Aaron Jones's production will drop
off? Yes. Aaron Jones's production will drop off in 2021.
No, he's been consistent the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He's been very consistent. Leave that offense as intact as you possibly can leave it. That includes Tanyan. That does include Tanyan. But Aaron Rodgers may have the biggest challenge possibly in his career if they let Aaron Jones walk. He may have the biggest challenge. You say, he can't throw with him laying on his back. Okay, I agree with you, but Aaron Rodgers does help alleviate an offensive line because he likes playing that little style of football. So he can at least minimize that damage a little bit by dancing around and running around. But he may have the single biggest challenge he's had in his career if he only has Davante Adams.
But he won't only have Davante Adams. I'm telling you, the Packers have, and he didn't only, and Tim, you're selling the rest of the Packers' skill position players short when you say that.
No, the reason their numbers were beefed up is because of Aaron Jones and Davante Adams.
You don't score 500-plus points, and your quarterback doesn't win an MVP because you have two good players around him. That doesn't happen, man. That doesn't happen. You're selling MVS way too short, Alan Lazard, Robert Tonyan, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon. All these guys contributed to a great offense. Not just a good offense, a great offense.
They get the drip-offs of two great players, Aaron Jones and Davante Adams. That's what they were getting because they had the defenses, and I don't blame them. had to protect as best they could against Adams and Jones. So what else was he going to do?
I'm looking for a tweet that I saw this morning because I think a lot of, I don't think a lot of people really, I think you have A.J. Dillon all wrong in terms of the type of running back that he is. I think that his frame, his build, his look.
Maybe he's just the unknown.
Have people thinking he's one type of running back, and I'm here to tell you he's different and he's more than that. I'm going to find the tweet here in the next few minutes, and I'll get it to you. I think it'll open some eyes about the kid, man. I really do.
Oh, okay, and they would know more than we would know, obviously. They know more than I know when it comes to all I know is what has worked. That's what I'm going to go with what we do know.
Yeah, but what worked.
And we know that Aaron Jones is a huge playmaker.
But what
Aaron
worked.
Jones, Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers can keep up with any of the Joneses out there in football. Any of the big three out there in football, check the box, improve the rest of your team now.
All right, man. I'm telling you, I think you're giving Aaron Jones a little bit too much hype and credit, and
maybe you're underestimating the offensive line then, because Patrick and Turner and Bakhtiari's coming back, Elkton,
you know what?
Jenkins.
You're kind of getting to where I was going with my answer to this.
Runyon is going to get some more play. I mean, they're not in. It's not like Lindsley's the only dude they've got.
You're kind of getting to where I'm going with this. We're asking the question: what's the bigger loss, Lindsley or Jones? And for me, it's Lindsley. But honestly, I think they'll be fine without either. That's my honest answer. Will they miss them? Will whoever steps up be exactly what Corey Lindsley was? Will you get replacement level for Corey Lindsley right away? Probably not. Will you get replacement level for Aaron Jones right away? Probably not. But Aaron Rodgers is what makes that side of the ball go, and he will continue to make that side of the ball go. I don't think you're going to see a huge drop off in offensive production for the Packers in 2021 if they lose Lindsley and or Jones. But who's the bigger loss in your eyes? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit different. We're not closing the door for anything. Obviously, we'd never do that for any team, especially the Packers. But, yeah, it definitely feels weird. Looks like all signs are pointing towards snapping the ball somewhere else next year. But, it really doesn't change. I mean, I'm putting in the work right now, lifting and training, and from that standpoint. But a little more anxiety, a little more uncertainty, I guess, just wanting to get this all over and finding a new home.
That's Corey Lindsley, sounding like his days in green and gold are over. And it looks like Aaron Jones' days in green and gold are over. Asking who do you think
Maybe
is the
not.
Bigger loss? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. You're still in denial, huh?
Well, no. I mean, are you going to tell me A.J. Dillon is better than Aaron Jones? This coming season, will have the better season?
I'm not saying he'll be better. No, I'm not saying he'll be better.
Okay, then keep your football team as good as you
can. Oh, will he be better than
it.
Aaron Jones next season? Or will
this
he be,
coming up season?
I think he could be. You're saying in 2021, will A.J. Dillon be a better running back than Aaron Jones? And I think
there is no chance that A.J. Dillon
possible.
Will put up 1,500 total yards and 15-plus touchdowns. There's no chance of that.
No, he won't be better than Aaron Jones of the last couple of years.
What I'm saying.
Okay, I thought you were asking if he'd be better than Aaron Jones moving forward. And
In his career, who knows? Yeah,
I could
maybe.
Very well I see him being as good, if not better, than Aaron Jones next year. In whatever uniform Aaron Jones ends up in, I'm saying I could see A.J. Dillon being better than him. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a center better than Corey Lindsley. There isn't one on this roster.
It's a center. I mean,
what do you mean it's a center?
I mean, it's a
the
center.
The hell you mean
could,
by
you
that? I played
replace.
Center. What are you demeaning my people for?
I mean, you could alleviate some of that through draft. Of this year's draft, you draft a center. Draft another
Corey Lindsley, didn't he start his rookie year after being drafted in the third or fourth round, and then they
Not
just
sure.
fell in love with him? I think I remember that correct. Fifth round, Evan is telling me. Fifth round.
So it's house money anyway, according to your logic.
Well, no. No, that's not my logic, Tim. I think you can find good players anywhere. I think we put too much stock in the label that a guy has when he comes into the league and where he was drafted. That's why you don't believe in the skill position players that we're talking about. Because like I said, when we started this conversation, you didn't expect Aaron Jones to be this dude. You didn't expect Devontae Adams to be this dude. Who the hell thought Robert Tonyan would be tied for the league lead in touchdown catches among tight ends when he fell asleep in their lobby? Nobody. Nobody. That last one is one that I don't think even the Packers front office saw coming. But the rest of those guys, that was the plan. They drafted Devontae Adams saying, you know, when Jordy is done, I think Devontae will be ready to take the torch. And they drafted A.J. Dillon thinking when Aaron Jones is done here, he'll be ready to take the torch. And y'all keep doubting him. Y'all keep questioning their abilities and assessing these players and letting guys walk or not going out and getting big free agents because they know they have the next guy. They know that the cupboard is still stocked.
I thought it was the best draft choice they had in last year's draft was A.J. Dillon.
Well, there we
that's
go.
The one guy. That's the one guy. DeGuara, who knows? Jordan Love, why? Would be my question. Okay, we'll find out why. And you know, there's going to be a reckoning with that draft choice at some point. We all know that. But I loved the A.J. Dillon pick. I love the A.J. But what's wrong with the two-headed monster of Jones and Dillon?
You only have so much money.
And you only have so much time. That's the thing. You only have so much time with these players. So can you beg, borrow, or steal a way to get Aaron Jones back in here, if not for the 1 year under the franchise tag, cut him like a high-end two-year deal? And I know it's going to open up all sorts of cap issues. Lindsley leaving is going to help in that regard.
He ain't signing a 1 or 2 year deal. The only way
at least bridge the gap to AJ Dillon's peak years.
The only way you lock down Aaron Jones for 1 year is with a franchise tag. He's not.
But
signing,
then can't he still just sit anyway? Can't he just say no?
He can hold out. He can hold out if he wants. Absolutely. But he is not, and nor should he sign a 1 or a 2 year deal to stay with the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, then I think it's easy. I think this whole thing is easy. You just franchise. Who else are you going to franchise tag?
But then
you franchise tag one of the best running backs in the NFL. I think that's fair from the organization's perspective.
You probably won't have him anyways, and that money will be tied up because you have to have that money sitting there waiting for him if he decides to sign the tag, if he decides to sign the tender.
They got to find the money.
And he's not.
They definitely have to find it.
He's not going to sign that. I will almost guarantee you Aaron Jones will not sign that franchise tag tender. And by the way, Zach Gruz, I said before the break, I had a tweet about A.J. Dillon that maybe sheds some light on the type of running back he is. Because his build, Tim, he's got the big quads and he's sort of a thicker built dude. And I think people look at him and they go, oh, he must be a big bruising power back. And he has that. He has that club in his bag. He will lower the shoulder and drop the boom on you. But as Zach Cruz points out, he said, among running backs with at least 40 attempts in 2020, Packers rookie A.J. Dillon was first in Pro Football Focus's elusive rating. He forced 18 missed tackles on just 48 touches. That's more than a third of his carries. More than a third of his carries, he forced at least one missed tackle. I'm telling you, this dude is ready to take the torch.
In a snowstorm, no pun intended, run with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I mean, we could break down all of those carries. We could break down every single one of those carries. But it is an indication. And don't get me wrong, Rami, I do like A.J. Dillon. But I love Aaron Jones, 1,500 yards, taking the weight and the heat off that passing game. I love that part. I think that's a huge part of what made this offense go. I think it's a huge part of it and a very underestimated part. I get the other perspective. I certainly do. Got to have an infrastructure. Got to have the O-line. You got to have a good scheme. You got to have fresh legs. You got all these things. You got to have multiple weapons. A tight end popped out of nowhere and gave you that bonus. It was one of those nice surprises. But if we think, and again, you know, maybe A.J. Dillon is one hell of a lot better running back than any of us think. Okay, if that's the case, I salute the Green Bay Packers hierarchy and their brass, and they had it all figured out. I don't think they can make that proclamation when you're comparing it to Aaron Jones' output for two seasons.
This isn't
just one bubble-up season for Jones.
You don't know until you know, but you have to eventually take that leap of faith.
At some point. But you're so close is what I'm saying. And you're right.
Yeah, but your hand is
forced. The last 2 years, you are right there to go to a Super Bowl and win it. You're right there. Why would you pick now of all times to pass the torch from a superstar running back to your top prospect?
Well, because A, this was the plan, and B, your hand is being forced. Mm. You're not going to be able to afford Aaron Jones. It's just not going to happen. Speaking of putting weapons around Aaron Rodgers, though, Tim, man, the more I delve into the free agency situation and I see some of the price tags attached to guys that people hope are in a Packers uniform next year catching footballs from Aaron Rodgers, the more I'm here to tell you that that probably is not happening. At least nobody who's gonna really satisfy what a lot of people who listen and call into this show want, Tim. Today at The Athletic,
they can barely fit Aaron Jones into a $9 million franchise tag.
Today at The Athletic, they had NFL, they're doing this for every position, free agency wide receiver rankings, and they have them split up into tiers. And tier one is empty out the wallet. And a lot of names here that I know Packers fans would love to have. Well, only two names in the empty the wallet category, and that's Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin. Those two guys are both going to be looking for in the range of $20 million a year. Forget it. You're not getting either one. And then they have tier two, just a notch below, is what they title that tier. And now we get to the Kenny Galladays of the world, Juju Smith-Schuster, Corey Davis, and those three guys, according to The Athletic, are going to be looking for deals in the $17 to $18 million range. Forget it. That ain't happening. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. Tier three, they call starting caliber options. This is where you get to the Will Fullers of the world, Curtis Samuel, Nelson Aguilar, T.Y. Hilton, Marvin Jones. And there you might be able to afford some of these guys if you can clear up enough cap space, Tim. Here we're looking at probably in the, I don't know, $12 million range, $8 to $12 million range is what they're saying. And now we get into the more realistic tier that the Packers can likely shop in. And you tell me if any of these names tickle your fancy. They call these the fringe starters / wild cards.
Okay, hold on. Before you even read those, I'll tell you, some of them will. I'll promise you some of them will.
I haven't even
heard the names yet.
I think some of them will. I think you're right. Sammy Watkins of the Chiefs, he's flashed a lot of ability. He just can't stay on the field.
Agreed.
Antonio Brown, we know the ability. We also know what the potential pitfalls are there. Rashard Higgins of the Cleveland Browns.
There might be a little something there. I think maybe underutilized.
Josh Reynolds of the Rams. He had 52 catches, 618 yards last year. And then we get into names that I don't think a lot of us are all that familiar with, if I'm being totally honest. Kendrick Bourne of the 49ers. Terrell Williams of the Raiders. Breshad Perriman of the Jets. Keelan Cole of the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's Danny Amendola. A.J. Green is on this list. Now, maybe you roll the dice on an A.J. Green and you can squeeze a little bit more juice out of that lemon with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football. We've seen what he can do on a football field, but he is 33 years old. Willie Snead of the Ravens, Dede Westbrook. They have Larry Fitzgerald listed here, but I'm telling you, Larry Fitzgerald, if he's playing football, it will be in a Cardinals uniform. He's not going anywhere. And then tier five, which they call depth and special teams, Tim, and this is where I see a name that intrigues me more for special teams than it does for wide receiver, and that's Cordarrelle Patterson of the Bears. That fixes your return game instantly.
It fixes your return game.
DeSean Jackson is in that list as well of tier five depth and special teams options. DeSean Jackson is a deep threat, but I think you have a better deep threat at this stage in their careers with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Alshon Jeffrey is there in that tier, 31 years old, but he's shown that he can do some things in this league. And then after that, they have tier five fighting for a roster spot. No need to even go over the names in that category. But I'm telling you, if you're looking for an impact playmaker around Aaron Rodgers, you probably can't afford it this year, Tim.
Maybe not, but other teams seemingly can stack a little bit. But, you know, 13-3 back-to-backs, it's tough to argue with. I mean, honestly, it's very difficult to disagree with what's going on in Green Bay outside of you got to do something to get over the mountaintop here. I mean, this whole NFC title thing. So where is that? Is that just keep the pace and we'll you know, have a good game or two and get on a roll, get hot at the right time, just like these other teams? We have the better record. We just weren't on the better roll philosophy, or do you say, you know what, we're built now to not just take that next step, we're going to jump.
Did any of those names?
And that's that.
Did any of those names tickle your fancy, Tim Allen? Watkins, yeah, Brown, Higgins.
Yeah, the Rashard Higgins definitely does. I've always thought he's a
AJ
little
Green.
Underrated. Maybe a little bit too old at 33.
I think Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy, man. I know that's not sexy to a lot of people, but I think Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy who helps this team the most. I mean, and you can
and he's willing to bounce around too.
And you can use him on offense. By the way, Cordarrelle Patterson, I would guess is playing for the Bears based on the tweet that he just put out not too long ago, and it goes right into what we're about to talk about, Tim, and that's quarterback drama. Juicy,
oh boy,
juicy quarterback
Your
drama.
Bears were mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next, Rami and Tim, 12:50 a.m. The Fan. Rami and Tim, 12:50 a.m. The Fan in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider. He'll join us coming up just a few minutes, 3:45 at 4 o'clock. The first bad projection out there is for the Brewers. Could it play out this way? We'll tell you exactly what that is coming up at 4 o'clock. But, man, juicy, juicy quarterback drama. Thanks to The Athletic today and really getting inside the rift between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Tim, did you read this article? Oh, okay. Days before a critical home game against the Cardinals, Russell Wilson met with members of the Seahawks coaching staff. It was a time of high tension. In Seattle's previous two games, Wilson had turned the ball over seven times, and the Seahawks had lost both. First to the Bills, then to the Rams. The offense needed to get on track, and Wilson had ideas on how to make that happen. Instead, the meeting would come to symbolize the divide between Wilson and the organization. Pete Carroll, the article goes on to say, has built a Hall of Fame credentials on what he sees as simple truths about how the game is best played. Run the ball, avoid turnovers, explode in the passing game. It is not because we just want to knock our head against a wall, Carroll once explained. It is because the game is played well when you don't give the other team the football. The game is played well when you can convert and make first downs. The game is played well when you can explode on offense. Carroll believes that formula in his bones, and over again, he was one while implementing it. In contrast, Wilson believes that Carroll's conservative philosophy is limiting his production, by extension, his ambitions to be one of the game's all-time greats. In response, or excuse me, a week later, Wilson had his worst game of the season. Before the Thursday night game against Arizona, Wilson met with his coaches for some time. Wilson has sought, even pushed for influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed. Multiple sources told The Athletic, another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself, as a player who had earned greater control over his situation, his future, his legacy. He stormed out of the room. And Tim, there's a lot more to this story. I would recommend anybody who likes juicy quarterback drama go and check it out. But man, oh man, does this seem like a broken situation in Seattle. And it appears that the rift is between the two most important guys in that situation, and that's Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. And I honestly, I always say, like 9 times out of 10, if my franchise quarterback, my star quarterback, top five in the league type of quarterback, has a problem with somebody in the organization, that person's got to go. I pick the quarterback. But I think Pete Carroll might be one of the few guys who makes me think twice about this, Tim. I don't know about you, but I think he is that good of a head coach that it makes me think twice about, if I have to take a side, if I'm John Snyder, the GM, and I have to take a side in this thing, I maybe fall on the side of a Pete Carroll, and if a divorce has to happen, I'm trying to find the best offer for Russell Wilson. Are you? Is that where you're at with this?
Well, it's unfortunate that it has to come to this, that, you know, there's going to be disagreements in the work environment. And I don't think football is any different than anywhere else. However, this may boil down to a communication issue. I mean, did we really understand each other? Did, you know, maybe there another meeting occurred that we're not aware of, and they still couldn't work things out? On the surface, Rami, I don't know why Russell Wilson doesn't get more love and respect as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I've wondered that for a few years. Is he not the style? Does he not have the right personality? Is he not marketed right? Is he not? Because he puts up the numbers.
I know I keep going back to this well, Tim, but I think people are too hung up on name brand versus store brand and where a guy was drafted or how highly he was recruited.
But he's not like a Mahomes or a Rodgers. He's more of a, you know, more of a blue collar type guy. If you look at the quarterback position, he's running around, he's scrambling, he's finding a way to. Okay,
right. He's running for his life, but the dude right. is the dude
should
has
should give him more credit.
I'm not gonna sit here and say he has as much ability and talent as Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, the two guys that you just named. But outside of that, I think he has as much ability at the quarterback position as almost anybody, and maybe. Throws the best deep ball in football. I've heard multiple analysts say that Russell Wilson throws the best deep ball in all of football in terms of how far he can throw it, the accuracy, the arc that he puts on it. The guy, you're right, Tim, that he does deserve more recognition and more credit for the type of quarterback that he is. And I think a lot of it comes back to where he was drafted, what people said about him before he was drafted, and thinking that those shortcomings are somehow still true when he's clearly proven that they're not. Everybody said he was too short to play the quarterback position. I think that has been dispelled. I think Russell Wilson, we can safely say, has overcome his whatever height deficit or height disadvantage that he had coming into the NFL as a quarterback. I think what it is store brand versus name brand is where he was drafted, and people still somehow, some way, hanging on to that perception of Russell Wilson.
You know, and I had a conversation yesterday, I think I made mention of this, of my guys in Seattle on KJR, Sports Talk Radio there, and we may reciprocate that invitation possibly tomorrow or maybe next week. But, you know, they asked me from afar about what's the deal with Russell Wilson? Should we be in panic mode was the question that they asked me, you know, from afar. And I said, of course you should be. Not a lot of organizations. See, we're spoiled here. We don't have to worry about that. Now, up and coming, I guess there's going to be a bridge we got to cross with Rodgers to Love. But, you know, for the most part, it's just been that one dust up with Favre's exit and Rodgers getting in here. Look at I told these guys, look around the league. Look at how many organizations are struggling to get that guy you guys have already and a Super Bowl champion on top of it. And a multi-Super Bowl appearance guy as well. I wouldn't take that for granted too much. I mean, go to the North, Rami. You spent some time in Minnesota. I mean, they're still struggling. It's been a decade or two trying to find that guy, that same guy that you get in a fight over philosophical differences with an offense between Russell Wilson and his head coach. You guys can't figure it out. You've got your guy. So It may come down to communication. It may just come down to this, that it's, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's just they outlive their love or something. Who knows?
Russell, The Athletic followed up that article with this tweet saying Russell Wilson's frustration has led his camp to broach trade destinations with the Seahawks. Sources tell The Athletic teams include Dolphins, Jets, Saints, and Raiders. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter tweeted out shortly after that Russell Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams, because he has a full no trade clause, he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears, his agent Mark Rogers said to ESPN. So that's directly from the agent, Tim, saying that Russell Wilson wants to be in Seattle, but if he's traded, he would consider trades to the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, or Bears. And depending on what Drew Brees decides to do, three of those four teams, if that's where Russell Wilson ends up, keeps the quarterback carousel a-spinning. Because what happens with Dak Prescott if he goes to Dallas? Like I said, what happens to Drew Brees if he decides he wants to keep playing and Russell Wilson ends up in New Orleans? And what happens to Derek Carr, who, by the way, I was reading about Derek Carr and his numbers since he's come into the league, far more impressive than what I thought it was. So if Russell Wilson ends up in Las Vegas, what happens with Derek Carr? Now the Bears, whatever.
I want him to go to Las Vegas if he's going to go. I think the Cowboys are just playing games down there with Dak, and that'll all get worked out. But
you better hope so.
The New Orleans Saints, that puts in for a really interesting thought. I mean, that might be the answer there for New Orleans. Again, Drew Brees, I would take Russell Wilson right now over Drew Brees. I think most people would. Wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely would, especially if I have him for multiple years. Because Drew Brees has one. He already signed a TV deal. He literally has already signed a TV deal. Yeah. He's 1 foot out the door and maybe has one more year left in him. I mentioned before that Cordarrelle Patterson, I would think, is going to be playing on the Bears based on a tweet that I just saw, and it tied into this quarterback drama shortly after the tweet from Adam Schefter saying that the Bears were one of the teams in the mix for Russell Wilson, one of the teams where Russell Wilson would accept a trade to. Cordarrelle Patterson put up hashtag new profile pic, and it's him with his arm around Russell Wilson and then posing for a picture. So he's already shooting that shot and recruiting Russell Wilson to the Chicago Bears. Meanwhile, speaking of quarterback drama, Tim, Dan Graziano says Texans QB Deshaun Watson met with Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. And in that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans ever again. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. And on top of that, Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reports the Texans remain unwilling to discuss Deshaun Watson with other teams, some of whom have resorted to leaving voicemails with trade offers per sources. Watson spoke briefly, and this reiterates the tweet that we just heard, to coach David Culley recently, but the two still haven't met in person. Houston not budging, according to Tom Pelissero.
You can't make the kid play.
No, you can't. No, you can't. They can't. Okay. I mean, they have him under contract. They can fine him and say, as long as you want to sit out, we'll keep fining you, and you can just sit there and rot. But I don't see how the Texans win in that situation.
They need to get better as quickly as possible. So if Deshaun Watson is hell-bent on not playing, well, then you sort of have to honor that, and you got to move him.
This is the best NFL offseason ever.
All of this is, and buried in all of this is a Jameis Winston, buried in all this quarterback controversy and drama is a Cam Newton.
And a Mitch Trubisky. Oh, never mind. All right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider. He'll join us right after this. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Rami and Tim, this segment of the show brought to you by Jim Dandy's. And I have what I'm supposed to say about Jim Dandy's somewhere around here. Or do I? There it is. Hey, Jim Dandy's, South 27th Street in Oak Creek. Try one of the best fish fries during Lent, along with their delicious steaks and seafood in their remodeled dining room. Takeout available, jimdandysgrill.com. I took a sip of way too hot coffee right before I turned the mic on. It's got me off my game, Tim Allen. Just a little bit off my game. I think I have
Thank goodness for coffee, though, overall.
Overall, yes. But I'm pretty sure I just blistered the roof of my mouth.
Don't you hate that?
It's the worst.
Being so hungry and that pizza is just steaming right there and you just chomp on it. And ouch. Ruins the whole thing.
Then you don't regret a thing. You're like, that's good. That's tasty. I'm good with this blister on the roof of my mouth for the next week. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he covers the Bucks for The Athletic and us here at 1250 AM The Fan, our Milwaukee basketball insider, Eric Name. That's a problem, you know, right, Eric? Too hot a coffee, too hot a pizza, burnt mouth.
Yeah, I would also add, I don't know that I've ever made, making soup is a thing that you do in Wisconsin in the winter.
Sure,
a big pot of chili, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And you've spent the whole day smelling it, and you're just yes, here we go, and first step immediately.
It'll never taste the same. Yep.
Nope. Every single time.
Eric, we started off the show asking, should the Bucks extend Drew Holiday? Today is the first day that they can open up those talks with Mr. Holiday, and the collective answer from Bucks Nation to Rami and Tim was, duh, yeah, you have to do that. Is it that simple, Eric? If he wants to be in Milwaukee, the Bucks should just go ahead and give him the big contract and wrap this thing up nice and quick?
I mean, I think you always want to try to get the best deal possible. You don't want to just hand out all of the money if you have an option to hand out less money. But overall, yeah, you traded a king's ransom for him. You made this move to solidify the team's future. And no matter what the rest of your roster looks like, if you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday for the next 3 years, you will be a contender in the Eastern Conference. There's really no way,
I shouldn't say no way. There's injuries and things like that. But, you know, for the most part, you're just going to be a contender. You're going to solidify how good this team is moving forward. And, you know, that was kind of the idea of the move when they made the trade, and that would be the idea of the move, you know, behind extending him. So, yeah, I think it's probably that simple, but, you know, contract negotiations are what they are. It is always going to take a little bit more time than, you know, immediately signing something like this. You know, even stuff that we thought was going to get done, like you look at Giannis's Supermax extension, you know, that took like a long time to get done, and that's the biggest contract in NBA history. So, you know, it's going to, I would guess it's probably going to take a little while, but yeah, it's that simple for the Bucks. He's that good. You want him here long term.
Well, Eric, that would be my question, though. I mean, why? I mean, everyone knew this day was coming, Thursday, February, whatever, 24th, 25th. Shouldn't that have been sort of in their target that, hey, man, this is gonna be a done deal. We're gonna give you what we can. What is it? $134 million, something like that, for 4 years. You love the city. Your wife loves the city. Everyone's working in harmony together. Why? I know there's some contractual legal ease to talk about, but a lot of that is rubber stamped. But I'm just curious as to why organizations and players sometimes just say, "Well, this stuff takes time."
Man, that's a great question. One that I would like the answer to. It would make my off-season planning a whole lot easier when I could take a vacation and, you know, actually step away from my phone for a second. So I'm with you on that. I would love to know why. But, you know, I think at least part of this, I would guess that Holiday's situation gets a little bit complicated just because of, you know, him missing games here due to the league's COVID-19 health and safety protocols. I just think, you know, there's maybe some thought like, hey, let me get back on the court. Like, I don't want the big news to be, you know, while I'm still out. Like, I would like to, I don't know that complicated things, but I would have to wonder, like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's something to the idea of like, yeah, you know, just like, let me get back on the floor and, you know, like, let's stop talking about me. Like, let's talk about the team for a little bit. And then we can just sign this when we need to sign it. So
okay.
I don't have a great answer for why these things take longer than they should. I would love to know the answers as well, but no one in the league, whether that is players, coaches, or owners, want to give me any sort of insight into why they make me wait so long for these decisions. So I'm with you, Tim.
Talking with Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider from The Athletic, here on the Rami and Tim Show. The other day we were asking, whose window is the most wide open of the three major sports here in the state of Wisconsin, Packers, Brewers, and Bucks? And the only reason I picked the Packers, Eric, and the only reason I did was, even with the uncertain future of Aaron Rodgers, and we don't know exactly how long he'll be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, what I said about the Bucks is I think the window is open right now for them competitively, but I think that if the thud is loud enough in terms of the way that this season ends, we could see a shakeup with the Bucks this offseason and certainly by the following offseason. And the only guy that I know is going to be here for more than the next 2 years is Giannis after signing the Supermax. Am I overstating how big a shift we could see if the Bucks fall short of expectations, our expectations and the ownership over at Fiserv Forum?
No, I don't think so. I think there's, you know, a possibility that things could get shaken up pretty well. If things go wrong, whether that would be, you know, Mike Budenholzer being out as coach or, you know, trading players or, you know, trying to redo the roster. You saw this year that after two times of falling short that John Horst decided to make pretty significant changes and bring in what is, you know, at least half of a brand new roster. So I would not be shocked if that type of thing happened. But, you know, I think the other thing that you kind of lean on is that you will have Giannis. And having Giannis immediately kind of opens up that window. Obviously, you need
right.
other players, and we've seen in this league that's how this works, that, you know, you have to have a couple guys, not just one. But having that one guy is the first step to having multiple guys. And
that's sorry to interrupt, Eric. That's what I said. I said that, yeah, the Bucks window will probably stay open as long as Giannis here. But as far as this current version, this iteration – of the Bucks. The window could close in a year or two. Now, I also said what you said, which is that when you have a guy like Giannis, you can hit the reset button and open that window up pretty quick. But what I was getting to, Eric, was let's say they decide to do that and they decide to change the supporting cast around Giannis. What is giving Jrue Holiday a big extension right now due to that? Does that make him more tradable, less tradable? What does that do if you decide you want to put a different supporting cast around Giannis in a year or two?
I don't know that it changes things all that much. The NBA is a league that I don't really feel like has untradeable contracts. You kind of get into a spot where as long as a guy can play, teams will find a way to trade for them. You know, we've seen it with, you know, a guy like Russell Westbrook, who had, you know, one of the biggest contracts in NBA history before Giannis had signed his, you know, he got traded. And that's something that can happen. Not only did he get traded, he got traded twice. This is something that can happen. So I don't know that it would have a huge impact on, you know, locking in a roster or, you know, killing Jrue Holiday's trade value or anything like that. Like, I still think it would be there. Obviously he is getting older, up around 30 now, but that isn't something that I think really turns teams off. I think both Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, both of them will have bigger extensions and will have plenty of money on those deals. But, you know, there's plenty of teams around the league that would like both of those guys on their roster and be willing to give up players to get a more proven player like both. So I don't think it necessarily, you know, makes Jrue Holiday any more or less attractive, just because the league is built around having talent, and talent gets paid, and that's kind of how it goes. So I don't think it would be a detriment to them.
Eric, the new schedule, or the second half schedule, came out, 36-gamer. Rami and I were taking a look at this thing. There's a 10-game span in which 9 are on the road, including 6 west of the Mississippi. But it dawned on me to look back on the first half schedule and try and figure out where their win is. Where's their signature win? I mean, you get a win against Toronto. Yeah, nice. And you get an Indiana victory. Let's see. What a Golden State on Christmas. You beat Portland. It's Phoenix. Losses to the Nets, losses to Boston, Toronto twice. So Utah is another one. In that second half, and I know they're working on things, Eric, that's been well documented, we talked about it. But at some point, don't you need a payoff on that? Doesn't this team need, like, that win? And I pinned it down to this. One of those L.A. games, Clippers, Lakers, you need to get one of those wins to feel good.
Yeah, it's interesting because I tend to agree. Like, you know, I'm more than fine with them telling us that they're more worried about process than wins, because they've won a bunch of games in the last couple of regular seasons and it didn't work. So I can understand the logic behind it. But obviously, you know, if you don't win some of those games in the regular season, it makes me not believe that you're going to be able to win those games in the postseason. When you play those good teams. So I would agree. I think there's some spots there where you can really go out there and win some games. And again, it's interesting to me because those wins don't necessarily mean anything, right? Like, they beat the Clippers last year. They beat the Lakers last year. But that didn't guarantee them anything in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So that would be their obvious retort, but you do have to get reps winning. Winning matters, and this is a results-based league. So I think you're right in circling the two Clippers games back-to-back. And then, you know, I think there's a couple other opportunities, and really they're all at home against good teams. You have a two-game set. Again, it's not a back-to-back. It's this thing that they're doing in the league now where you play the same team twice in the same city. So you have Wednesday, March 24th and Friday, March 26th against the Boston Celtics. Then you go down to April 22nd and April 24th, you have the Philadelphia 76ers in town. And then May 2nd and May 4th, you have the Brooklyn Nets in town. I mean, it would be tough to put, you know, games on the schedule that could make you feel better about the Milwaukee Bucks than, man, you go in the middle of April, everyone's still fighting for playoff position. you take back-to-back games from the Philadelphia 76ers, who are at the top of the Eastern Conference right now, or even you go into May and you take back-to-back games from the Brooklyn Nets, or even if you end up splitting against those teams. Those are the types of tests that show that this team can compete, can play with these other teams. So for me, it's kind of those eight-ish games. The Celtics probably don't matter as much anymore because they're struggling at the moment. So it's, you know, take one or two from the Los Angeles contender kind of portion of the trip. Take one or two or sweep the Sixers. Take one or two or sweep the Nets. And, you know, I think that's kind of the spot where you're looking at signature wins or whatever you might want to call it. I think the best one in the first half would have been the Denver Nuggets when they were still kind of viewed as a contender. They're a little bit closer to the middle of the Western Conference now instead. But there's plenty of opportunities for those signature-type victories here in the second half.
Eric, we're late for a break, but I need to ask you the question I heard you ask Bart Winkler the other day when I was sitting in studio, and it was good to talk to you twice in 1 week, Eric. And the question was this. Bart was saying he was on the Firebud train, off the Firebud train, back and forth. And you said, you asked Bart if he felt like Coach Bud, and you put it in a very good way, if he was a Frankenstein of all the greatest coaches that ever coached this game, could he do a good enough coaching job with this roster to overcome whatever talent deficit they have should they go up against the Brooklyn Nets of the world or the Lakers or the Clippers? I don't know that I heard you answer your own question. Do you think Coach Bud can do enough of a coaching job to overcome whatever talent deficit there is between them and what look like more dominant big twos and big threes around the league?
Yeah, I think so. You know, with that Nets team, I get kind of the fear that Bart has. I just think it's a little bit less of them than he does, because, you know, the way he was talking about them the other morning, like, this is a no doubt, they're going to win the championship. And I think they should be the favorites right now. I will not deny that. But, you know, you look at kind of their top three and you look at the way that the Bucks can score the basketball with Drew Holiday on the floor, there's a real chance that you can get into that series and you're going up against a first-time head coach in Steve Nash. So I don't think you're going to get, you know, out-schemed or out-tacticked during that series. You're just going to have a chance to go out there and play. And, you know, I think there's enough talent with Giannis and Chris and Drew to go toe-to-toe with those guys and put yourself in, hey, if it's going to be a shootout and it's 120-121 for seven straight games, I think you can go in there and grab four of those games. So I think they could do it. I think Bart is maybe a little bit higher on the Nets than I am, which was the point I was trying to get to in asking him that question. But he very masterfully evaded my questioning that morning.
I said that day as he was ending his conversation with you. He ended it with, "I love you," and you said, "I love you back." And I said to Bart, "I'm not shy about throwing around 'I love you.'" Tim, my co-host, very much is. He doesn't want to do it. I just said, look, I like Eric a lot. I think he's really, really good at what he does, and I'm very appreciative of having him here as part of the station. But I don't think we're at "I love you" levels yet, Eric. I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. Maybe one day we get there, but I'm just going to say appreciate the time, and thanks for joining the show. Always good stuff.
That's totally fine with me.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of room in our relationship to
for
grow,
sure.
And maybe one day we'll progress to that point.
But Eric, know this, that you don't have to say "I love you" back to Bart.
Yeah,
did you feel that.
Did you feel compelled when Bart says "I love you"? Do you just feel compelled to say "I love you" back, or do you really love Bart Winkler?
You know, I've loved Bart for a long time now, so
okay.
that love is very, very real.
Fair enough. That's Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball. I hope we can get to that place, Eric, and we'll take another step forward when we talk to you next week, my friend.
No, it won't happen.
Sounds good. See you guys.
There's Eric Name joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If applying for a home renovation loan,
like him, sure.
As you feeling anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility, and then you'll be loving them. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. The first bad projection I've seen for the Brewers are out. Could it play out this way? Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.